The once carefully created moral image of the Democratic Alliance is showing more cracks. With me is political commentator Solly Mueng. Welcome, Solly.
Hi. Hello. Pleasure to see you again, Chris. Yeah, it is, isn't it? I think the DA, as we head to these next elections, it's inadvertently giving its political opponents all sorts of things to say, but you are not holier than us. Look at what happened to there was the matter of the former leader Tony Leung's agency apparently going behind the scenes to influence political decisions. Now there's this matter here. There was a matter of Stenison and all that stuff that he brought into the public. Now this Berg, Mark Berg story is big. Obviously, he clearly, in the company that he led, he no longer leads, his brother, Nicola Berg, is apparently leading it now, clearly contravened the currency control regulations by using people's money to take out 4 billion rands into the outside market, basically pretending that these people were in agreement. They knew what was being done, because we know that each individual can take up to 12 million rands, 2 million rands without needing to a clearance from SARS, and 10 billion rands for foreign investment purposes. And it seems like these people didn't know. So obviously he has not been charged, but his name has been dragged into this thing. It's good. It'll be good to see what the DA does with this. Will it do with him what it often demands of other parties to do with their own people when they get dragged into this sort of thing? Or are they going to say, well, he's innocent until proven unguilty, which is what everybody else does?
At the moment, they seem to be backing him, and he is denying all wrongdoing. He said he resigned in 2024 to pursue a political career, but he was still chairman of the group until this year.
Correct. And the funds were blocked last year, late last year. So surely when the steps were taken against the company late last year, he should have maybe resigned then, or come out then to say, look, this is what's happening in my space. I'm sorry. But then he waited. Maybe he was hoping that it would end there, that it would never see the light of day. Now it's seen the light of day, but he should have resigned long ago. So it's really, it's his cross to carry, and the DA must decide, well, we can't deal with this, especially as we head towards elections. We can't have all these crooks that we've been calling crooks all these years looking at us saying, aha, what did we say? You are not different from us.
Especially since he is the finance spokesperson for the party.
Exactly. And he sits on two important parliamentary committees, including SCOPA, including the appropriations and the joint finance committee. That's very important. He has access and view of a lot of decisions taken by government. At that level, I think that it's a consequential.
Mm-hmm. Still on the Democratic Alliance, interestingly, when Tenderpreneur and currently attempted murder accused Kat Matlala finally appeared at the Matlanga Commission of Inquiry, one of the things he put on the record was that the only services he had provided to Ekurhuleni Municipality was pro bono protection services for the former Democratic Alliance Mayor Tanya Campbell.
Yeah, I think maybe she, at some point, she must also come out and say and tell us what she knew. Was she aware of it? Was she aware of the nature of the relationships? Or was he just saying, you know, I'm a mayor, services are being provided, this is what it is, and assume that everything was done correctly? Because Kat Matlala's VP company also participated in the 2022 State of the City address at Ekurhuleni. They were there as VIP protectors, they provided security, but the relationship there, that illegal MOU they had signed with Mkhwanazi, is what brought them to where they were at. Surely the mayor should have known better. Somebody in her circle, in her advisory team, should have said, you know, the stuff over there is toxic. And it doesn't seem that nobody did that. It doesn't seem like she raised it. So she really can't keep quiet forever. She must say something.
Now, Kat's a very passionate advocate, Annelien van den Heuver. Her name has appeared as a close friend on the alleged funeral program of the notorious late taxi boss, Ms. Wazi Masibi.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried to find that the source of that I haven't managed to do so. But if that is the truth, that she was also there, it's a big problem, isn't it? I mean, I was worried just a week ago that we were told there was a big five, that the firm consisting of big five names, and not all of them were emerging. And people said to me, just be patient. You will see all these dots are slowly, slowly being connected. So if she is in that grouping or grouping of, you know, that kind of crowd, it's going to be quite hard for her to keep holy, if you want, as just a legal, I think she's going to have to come up and say, okay, I've known these people. This is my relation. These are my friends. CB was my friend. And under these circumstances, otherwise, it means that everything that we know now is just a tip of the iceberg, which it really is. I mean, we don't know everything that we're supposed to be knowing. Big names are coming out, tumbling out of the closets, and those people who are involved in processes that we're supposed to be trusting, who know that they have answers to give to us. I think it's about time they came out without being pushed, just like Berg. Malema also, his name is coming out. He can't continue to be Honorable Mr. Julius Malema, because clearly it's not, things are not pointing that way. And political party funding is a big problem. I mean, you could pretend you don't just go to people's weddings and homes and farms for nothing. There's always money involved. And the question is, where does that money come from? Who has been killed, if anybody, or hurt? What kind of state institution has been weakened for that money to get to where you are at? So politicians can pretend to be the guardians of our democracy, while at the same time they enable stuff to happen that makes them, that funds their operations.
It makes her very vociferous defense of him more interesting. And it's almost as if though she's trying to answer on his behalf.
Yeah, it's almost like as if she's defending herself more than she's defending
exactly.
him.
Is she defending him or herself? I was wondering.
Yeah.
pre-defending herself.
Yeah, it's almost like she's doing everything she can to make sure he doesn't get to be asked questions, you know? Yeah, but it's a matter of time, isn't it?
So what did you make of finally he appeared of his day of testimony?
Well, look, he didn't answer many of the questions, of the key questions. I mean, he gave some things away, others not. The friendships that he denied. But he is coming back on the 24th, isn't it? By the 20th of August, they must submit their supplementary affidavit. I think he's going to have to answer more questions. The Maguire Commission, of course, will continue to assure him that the evidence that he provides to them is not going to be used against him when he goes to court on the 11th, I think, of September. So, look, he will give as little as possible, but he knows that the noose is tightening strongly around his neck. At some point, he failed to get a deal with the NPA. He can't have those conditions anymore. He's going to have to decide what can I give in exchange for what, given where we are at now. And Annelien is going to have to be clear about whether she defends herself or him or both of them, and whether she can keep running like this forever. I mean, she's buying for time, at the expense of what? Of truth. It'll come out. The truth will come out at some point. And let's hope that it's going to be kind to her as well. We don't know what we don't know. We're really just speculating. But her conduct is driving the speculation, understandably.
It's entirely possible that her close relationship with the late taxi boss was because of a professional relationship. She might have, represented him or done legal work for him to the extent that he regarded her the family regarded her as a close friend.
Correct. But everything that's coming out linked to his name is not nice. It's really, nothing of it is attractive. Now he's being described in some circles as the president of the big honcho of the so-called firm. He was the man to go to. And suddenly he died, suddenly apparently of a short illness. I mean, we don't know what's going on in that space. It's very scary. I mean, how many of these people are there? All these big, successful, so-called successful businessmen and women in Sandton and other places, they own farms, they gift each other animals, and I mean, they discuss the weight of drugs, you know, I mean, Van Veek and Matlala, turn out to have been. So all, it's a very murky world that has been operating at the expense of the rest of South Africa. And we really hope that it all comes out so that we never have to be here again. Hopefully, never have to be here again. But again, we don't know, right?
Healthcare matters, but what matters most?
Having cover for the people who keep this business going.
Bonitas is there for you when it counts. Bonitas, medical aid for South Africa. Visit bonitas.co.za and find your plan.
Over to suspended MP Fadil Adams. He's going to face a grueling grilling at the Madlanga Commission of Inquiry. Solly, what drama he has created.
I don't know what happened in his childhood. We all had issues happening in our childhood, but it's like, I thought Malema was the naughty boy of politics. Fadil Adams is something else, you know, and it's a pity that, I mean, he keeps telling these lies. There was a stuff about his computer. There was a stuff about how he got hold of that Section 27 with whistleblower. Affidavit, and the parliament came back and said, no, wait a minute, the computer was functioning. Then he lied about how, you know, the reasons for him submitting his affidavit late to the commission. And now he's also facing the stuff in KZN, and he was linked to Johnson and the IDEC. And it seems like there was some kind of plot to use him, or I don't know if he used them or they used him. They used one another to weaken the criminal justice system, to go after people who are really credible for reasons they should not have done so. So it's going to be interesting to see how far he's going to go in telling the truth, if he will tell the truth, or if he'll continue trying to trip the process. I don't know who's representing him, if anybody. So it's, I don't see him winning. Yeah, I really don't. And his political standing for the colored community, I think that's also going to take a beating, because I know friends, I've got colored friends who don't want to be identified with this guy.
Oh, maybe the Patriotic Alliance will have him.
Oh, and Al-Jamaa. All these minority groupings are coming together to stand in each other's corner. We don't know. I don't mean, look. If you support him on the basis of coloredness or the, you know, ethnic or narrow racial ethnic reasons, I think that it's going to be hard to defend that. If Al-Jamaa is going to defend him because he's colored, they're also going to suffer. Obviously, they want to make sure that the colored vote doesn't go back to the DA, or, you know, it stays within their groupings. If he loses it, it must go to PA. If the PA can't get it, Al-Jamaa must get it. But colored people are not fools, you know what I'm saying? I think that it's important that we respect that people don't, not everybody says, I vote like this because I'm colored. It doesn't mean all of the issues that have been raised that concern the broader colored community are not real. But I think that we would be silly to reduce colored people to thinking in those narrow terms. Just like black people or white people, you know what I'm saying? There are people who think and then they act in terms of voting in all groups. And there are people, of course, who are easily misled by Malemas, by the ANCs, by other politicians on the basis of what they look like. But it's a lot more complicated than that in reality, thankfully.
Fadil and Johnson and all those people involved in that plot to discredit certain people and to get other people sort of shoehorned into the positions they wanted them to be in, they must have thought they had gotten away with it. It fell apart at the last minute.
And they were silly to think they would get away with that kind of clause. You know, the sort of thing one cannot hold on to forever. I mean, it's the same people now, the advocate in the IDEC's office who came out and said, but that's not true. Yeah, that's not true. These are the things that happened. If Johnson, for instance, now is coming out that she was not a good leader. She was a control freak. She had issues with people. And then she did things with those people to outsiders. She would have been a fool to think that one day this her own people in the office that she was not the people she wasn't treating with respect would not one day have take their chance when it's offered to them to stand up and say, okay, this is the kind of person that we've been dealing with. This is a person who's been doing this to South Africa. And you know what? It's a good thing that a South African of Indian origin stood up and said, that's not right. because there are already people out there saying, oh, there's an Indian mafia, what's going on, the Indian side. But the truth is, there are people of all colors who are involved in this nonsense that's happening. There are Afrikaans people, there are Zulu, Xhosa people, there are Indian people, colored people. I mean, this is who we are. So in all of us, there are bad people, there are good people, and I think that's how we should judge them, by their acts. I'm very happy that these things are coming out, and I really hope there's going to be consequence for them. Even those who apparently, you know, conveniently got shot, they can't come in, you know, testify. Those who got hospitalized, the long arm of the law must eventually reach them, so that South Africans can see that the concept of equality before the law does exist, that nobody stands above the law. It's important. If there are no consequences, just there have not been consequences for people like Zuma on state capture and others in the past, it's sending the wrong message to the people of South Africa. It's important. All of us, we want to get to a point where we know that this democracy works for everybody. It's not some kind of Orwellian animal farm where some are more equal than others. They have carried themselves all day long as if they are more equal than others. It's now up to the system to prove them wrong and to prove us, to give us that confidence again that we need in our democracy.
Lastly, what do you make of the collaboration that has been announced between AfriForum and March and March?
I think hopefully eventually it'll be a good thing. I mean, look, AfriForum says it stands for Afrikaans people. March and March says it stands for Black people. I mean, Black people is like, they are not homogenous, right? They civil, but, you know, good for them. They stand for the interest of, and it's good that they're saying, okay, let's stay away from politics. Let's focus on socioeconomic development. Maybe March and March will get some funding leads from AfriForum because it seems to raise funds very easily. Maybe they'd have good difficult conversations about lizard genocide in South Africa. How do we get some of the powers at national level to be devolved to provincial levels? So they will have some really hard discussions and some easy conversations. But I think it's a good thing. I see people saying, oh, that's nonsense. Oh, it's so surprising. Maybe I think let's just give them time and see what comes out of it, because they're all South Africans. They all in their own way think they're fighting their corner, because the center has not been fighting their corner on their behalf. Their grievances cannot be said to be not legitimate, right? So let's just hope that they don't act against the interest of us, the collective South Africa, in whatever they're going to be doing over the next months. So let's just watch them and hope that they strengthen our country in their little ways.
It seems to have come about because Jacinta had said that she wanted to build an organization like AfriForum.
She did say that, I mean, AfriForum has been accused of stuff, but it's also been doing some good things. For instance, they raised funds to build an Afrikaans university. Naledi Pando and others are saying, what? You can't do that. Or maybe these guys will build a Zulu or Sotho or Xhosa or Black university. You know, they'll do some good things. I think that let's see how they're going to unfold together as a broad civil society movement or two, that hopefully the more they talk to each other, they'll realize that they probably have more in common than stuff that sets them apart. I think I prefer to look at it in a more positive way. It's surprising, of course, we didn't see it coming. But Jacinta will need money. There've been questions about where March and March gets money, who funds it. These things will come out. The thing is, as long as they don't kill people, hurt people, damage infrastructure, you know, go against the law. I have to give it to her that she's been saying to her followers, please don't hurt people. Don't damage stuff. You know, let's give her some credit. The issue of immigration has to be dealt with by government, but not by civil society movements. The issue of farm killings, for instance, that a forum has been making noise about. We know there's no genocide. I mean, anybody who says there's genocide today is lying. But farm killings have happened. You know, so I think it's important that, given the kind of country that we allow ourselves to have difficult, uncomfortable conversations, because those are the things that make us who we are. If we don't create space for uncomfortable conversations, people are going to start putting bombs and stuff in places of God because they're not being given the space in public to say, this is what we stand for. So let's allow that to happen. It's important. This is how we build this difficult, diverse society that we are.
Indeed. Thank you. That was political commentators Solly Wang speaking to Biz News. I'm Christine. Thank you, Solly.
Thank you, Chris.
Start your day a step ahead. BizNews Insider. It delivers the business stories that matter every morning straight to your inbox, sharp, fast, and free. Subscribe now.